It was gambling that brought the rising star of mob, the big boy Caprice, to zenith, and brought crime buster Dick Tracy onto his scent. Caprice had made his bones in the small-time extortion and protection rackets on the South Side, and had prosecuted his vendettas with a ruthless tenacity that earned him a reputation for cunning, murderous unpredictability, and an unwillingness to forgive that was remarkable even on that seamy side of town. Business owners who failed to cough up Big Boy's exorbitant demands for tribute were hastily extinguished, and many a small-time operator learned the hard way with the mob. Not Webster, meant by territory, a school lesson that ended with a student dressed in a pair of cement overshoes. Scratch, claw, double cross, and slaughter his way to the top of an ugly heap. And by the time he was there, his greedy eye would wander to the spoils of national control of the rackets. He was surrounded by a round-the-clock assortment of goons, pimps, shills, competent tricksters, flim-flam men, and later-jawed gunmen that responded to his every urge. His empire grew, an empire that fashioned itself into an unseemly replica of a king's court, where a jester could be put to death with a sore wink of a Neapolitan eyelid. At a whim, he could bring a whole neighborhood to its knees with a particularly unpleasant visit from one of the squads of Amici di Amici, or Friends of Friends. The territory he came to control with an iron hand was not called the Carnival of Death for nothing, and Big Boy Caprice had given his sobriquet a vicious ring many times over. It seemed that nothing would stop him. Not politicians, not union bosses, not racketeers, not the treachery of his fellow serpents, not the heady aroma of power lust would be enough to undo this monolith of evil. Nothing but Dick Tracy, whose name had come up in regard to the office of police chief on the South Side. Tracy had handled the likes of Caprice before and seen the hideous rictus of other hoodlums end up behind bars. But here was a king whose calling card was widowhood and a brutal river of scarlet that drained itself in the city sewers.
Tracy's on a tape.
He would create a reign of terror and a flow of blood that would not be staunched by anything but Dick Tracy and the nation's boldest crime busters. Ha, ha, ha! The gangsters laughed at headlines that promised a head-on war from the Attorney General's office. Cackles were heard again in mafia back parlors at the mention of Attorney General Fletcher's campaign for the mayoral office. A campaign that Caprice and his underbosses, Flat Top, Prune Face, Influence, and Mumbles, would conspire to bring to an abrupt halt and give the would-be office holder an involuntary dirt nap. Focus of the tentacles of Caprice and his hideous family was gambling, the glamorous shibboleth that kept the masses hostage to a dream, and in eternal slavery to the hope that this week, this month, their lucky number would come up, a hope that somehow never materialized. Roulette, craps, blackjack, pino, the ponies and the puppies were all raised and pulled like the strings of a marionette with a shining visage by Caprice and his allies. The city with its hopeless masses hooked like dope fiends on the game of the moment waltzed to the gangsters too, and he kept a parade of corrupt officials on the payroll to ensure that the waltz played on. One who dared contradict him was club owner Lips Manless, proprietor of the Club Ritz. Big Boy Caprice wanted in. Manless wouldn't yield. Lips was soon separated from the living at a lavish funeral, and Caprice took over the Club Ritz. And with it came Manless's former mole, the songbird with a come-hither stare, Breathless Mahoney. Breathless would not be allowed to mourn long, for the party would go on every night, as it always did. Would Tracy drop by to bring it to a halt? When would gunfire rival the popping of champagne corks? For wherever Caprice roamed, blood would find him, sooner or late, sooner or late, sooner or late.